Right, this evening we're going to go to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, this is probably one of the best known Bible stories. The kids start hearing about Samson when they're little, and even the world, there's movies and all kinds of stuff. And so tonight we're going to look at the tragic but a crowning death of Samson. Judges 16, starting in verse number 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. I'm just going to stop right there. You've got the beginning of the story. You've got the picture. But let's open up again in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your great love and your majesty. We thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. And Father, tonight we pray that your Holy Spirit would put life into your word. Father, that we would see you in a new light, and that we would fall greatly in love with you, that we would serve you and be what you'd have us to be. Now guide and direct us, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Samson has come to Sorek, and it just kind of struck me. Timnath, in chapter 14, he came to the vineyards of Timnath, and the word Timnath means an allotted portion. And we know that God has a chosen people, has been. But here he comes to Sorek, and the name Sorek means a choice vine. And when I read this and I was thinking about that, Jesus said, this is the reason that I came, to give my life a ransom. Now, this pictures Jesus Christ coming for us. Again, we're the harlot. We are the one that, even though as Christians, we constantly find ourselves being drawn into the old nature, into the things of this world, and we never keep a fully devoted love. And yet he loves us. And this is, you know, as I said in typology, somewhere it's going to fall apart. But I look at Samson, and Delilah says, tell me where your strength comes from. And so he gives her this line. They come on him, try to take him, and he defends himself. And she said, oh, you lied to me, you know, tell me again. And he does it again. And, you know, you would think that after a while he would get it. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Though we have turned against him so many times, he just keeps on loving us. And so we're going to jump down to verse 17. Well, let's get verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with the words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength shall go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him to sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and he caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, here's words of warning to us that we need to be certain of our relationship to the Lord, because it's very easy to come to the place that we get so bogged down with the things of this world that we forget that God's presence, God's Spirit, we walked away from Him. He never walks away from us. We walked away from Him. And so we're going to start here, and I want you to notice Christ's sorrow. He wakes up and finds himself. Notice, first of all, there's a rejected love. Verse 18, Delilah saw that he had told his heart. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines. Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. There was a rejected love. Samson told her, here's the secret. Here's the story of my life. And so as he loved her, she turned and sided again with the Philistines. You know, John chapter 1 says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, I keep going back and bringing this in. I want this picture to kind of develop in your minds. For believers, Samson's life is humiliating as a Christian. We get that. But as Christ looks at the world, they see him just like we see Samson. I've said this repeatedly. They don't want nothing to do with him. You know, how do we get rid of this guy? What, you know, get rid of him. He had a rejected love. He told all of his heart. But then also in verse 18, it says, then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Not only was it a rejected love, but it was rewarded love. Remember Judas? He sold Jesus 30 pieces of silver. It's bad enough to walk away, but to walk away and to gain from the suffering of Christ. How many people have turned from their roots? There's a story, I won't call the name, but there's a very famous comedian, and I watched a video on his life, and he began to do shows and became fairly successful, and another comedian came to him, and he said, you know what your problem is? You know why you're going nowhere? And he said, no. He said, your act is too clean. And he had a strong Christian background. And he said, if you will put a little filth in your scenes, it'll get better. And he began to change. And when you go to one of his shows, you would never know that he was a Christian. But on the world circuit, he's one of the most popular comedians. Friend, listen. Jesus was rejected, and his love was turned away for a reward. But then notice that it's restrained love. Verse number 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. There's restrained love. You know, Jesus, when he was arrested, they bound him, and they led him in. Listen, if you see your notes here, and I'm going to kind of shuffle this around a little bit. The restrained love says he lost his glory. Now, hair in the scriptures referred to. Proverbs 16:31 says, the hoary head, the gray head, is a crown of glory. The epistles, I think it's Corinthians, says that a woman's hair is her glory. So when he shaved his head, he lost his glory. That's a picture, okay? Second thing, it says he lost the gospel. He lost his eyes. He lost the light. I was looking this afternoon. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm not going to take the time and go back through it. But Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And God called them, and they hid themselves. First thing they done, when they realized they were naked, they made them clothes. That's a binding. Then they hid themselves because they were ashamed. God said, why did you hide? And he said, because we are afraid. They lost sight of their relationship with God. And the Bible says in Corinthians that Satan hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest they should hear the glorious gospel. Listen, here's, go with me if you will. Let's put Jesus on the cross. Okay? Why is he there? For our sins. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, and it strains me, and I'm sure y'all not as far out as I am, but it's hard for me to picture that Jesus on the cross hung just like the man beside him. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a liar. He was an adulterer. You pick it. When he was on that cross, he was there for our sins. And that light had gone out. But then, look at this. He lost his liberty, his legacy. He was now in captivity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 and verse 26 says that we are to be loving and patient. And I'm paraphrasing because the mind won't call it together. But he said, witness to those that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Jesus preached in the temple. He said, I've come to preach liberty to the captive. When you look at Isaiah and you look at these verses, Jesus came, when he died on the cross, he opened the jail cell. The door is wide open. And you know what a sinner does? He sits right there in captivity. I've talked to guys, I've heard of stories. We actually had a guy one time that was shoplifting in the business I was at. And we were talking to the policeman, said, it was so obvious. Why did he do it? And he said, he's been out of jail 24 hours. He don't know what to do with himself. He has nowhere to go. And his security place is in a jail cell. Jesus said, I've given you liberty. But here he is bound. Here we are sinners. We're bound by him. There was Christ's sorrow. Then when you come to verse 21, there's Christ's sufferings. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Notice his darkness. They brought him down. They put out his eyes, brought him down to the prison. Again, there's that loss of light, that loss of vision. But Jesus, the words have been ringing in my mind for the past week. Mine hour hath come. Mine hour hath come. Delilah says, Samson, tell me what it is. And he tells her this. Oh, you lied to me. You know what? And he tells her something else. And then he finally tells her all. He says, this is my time. This is my time. Jesus said, this is where I'm to be. There was his darkness. There was his despair. verse 21 said they bound him in fetters of brass. Now again, in typology, brass is a picture of judgment. If you go back and look at the Old Testament tabernacle, the brazen altar, the brass altar, is made of brass because that speaks of the judgment of God. When you go through Scripture, it finds brass. Jesus was bearing the judgment of God's wrath on us. When they put those brass shackles on him, he said, I'm surrendering myself to you. Listen. I'll put it in here, but John, or Psalm 22, and in the Gospels, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, I've given myself to bear your judgment. Friend, listen, this is what makes the story of Samson so precious to me, is that when I see Samson and what he went through, loving the harlot in the world of unbelievers, which we are, and he willingly died for me. And he was forsaken. He was covered in despair. They bound him, Mark 15. And then his degradation. It says, he began to grind in the prison house. And verse 23 says, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, and they said, our God hath delivered him into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. His degradation. Psalm 22, verse 11. Matthew 27, verses 39 through 44. When Jesus was being, from the moment he was arrested, before the priest, before Pilate, when they had beaten him, the soldiers, when they brought him out to take him to Golgotha, from there, when they put him on the cross, there were people walking along, insulting him, wagging their heads, making fun of him. If you be the Christ, save yourself. Samson went through this. And I want you to notice verse 22. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for a great sacrifice. You don't read it there, but there's a gap. They didn't bring him out the next day. It says his hair began to grow. You know, we get into troubles and sorrows, and I heard somebody make a statement the other week, Pat, I don't remember who it was, but said we spend more time praying to keep Christians out of heaven than we do sinners out of hell. And when problems come, we want them fixed. And when do we want them fixed? Yesterday. And so you have to pause here. And you have to see Samson that day after day after day in that grinding house, grinding that grain. People coming by, I'm sure, just to mock and make fun. The monkey in the zoo. And he was degraded. The insults that was passed upon our Lord when he was dying for us. It's bad enough to go through troubles. But it hurts even deeper when you're going through troubles for someone to stand there and make fun of you. And there Jesus stood. There Samson stands. He was reviled of the very men that hated him. Jesus loved us while we were unlovable. While we were rejecting him, insulting him, shaking our fist at him, he still loved us. There was not only his sufferings, but there's his success. Verse 29. They bring him out. Let me back up to verse. Let's go to verse 25. Get the whole story. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars upon the house standeth, that I may lean upon. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, they beheld Samson, behold, while Samson made sport. I'm going to stop right there just a minute. Go back to verse 26. And Samson said unto the lad that led him by the hand. The scriptures tell us over and over, Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter. They didn't have the big prison guards watching Samson. Go get one of the kids and bring that guy up here. Samson could have easily just snatched loose and walked away. No, he willingly came. Jesus willingly gave himself. When they carried him up Golgotha, when they put him on that cross, I don't think you would have found Jesus struggling, trying to pull away while they was nailing him to the cross. I think he was doing everything he could to be cooperative. Why? He gave himself. And so the lad brings Samson in, and he says, now, show me the pillars. Let me find my place here. Verse 26, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and upon which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and all upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which slew in his life. Notice his victory. There were two pillars. And we were in a discussion. I don't remember who was in this. When Samson, we were talking about the size of Samson. There's two pillars. Was he tied to the pillars? Or were they so close together that he could wrap his arms around them? Or was he standing between them and pushing? I'm going to give you, since I'm the one doing the speaking, I get to give you my opinion. And I'll tell you why. I think he stood between the pillars. This may have been a set of columns that was close together in the center of the porch. And I think he went up and he felt these two columns. He stood between them. And when he bowed himself, what do? Do a crunch. Why? Why? Because the Bible talks about 2 Corinthians 10:4, pulling down everything that exalteth itself against the glory of God. Let's go a little bit further. Two pillars, two thieves. also, and here's the one that I like, Colossians 2:15. He said, destroying principalities and powers and making a show of them openly. When Jesus hung on that cross, he took death and hell, tore them down, said, it's finished. Satan, the wicked, the rebellious, he destroyed the kingdoms of darkness in that one act. And it says, more in his death than in his life. We talked about this earlier. The Bible says it's a righteous thing with God to bring vengeance on those who have hurt you, those who have opposed you. Listen, God loves you to the umph. But God hates sin. The Bible says God is angry with the sinners every day. We hear all about the love of God, love of God, love of God, love of God. But nobody's warning the world that this God that loves us also has the same amount of wrath that he does of love. And he destroyed those enemies. His judgment. He died in the battle. Jesus lay his life down and give his life. Now, I'm going to close with two things. Here we see Samson. He's gone into this temple of Dagon. He has pulled down the pillars. The building collapses in on top of him and all of the enemy. And they're gone. In verse 31. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtalol in the burying place of Manoah his father. Let your mind get away a little bit. His brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up. There's the resurrection. There's the resurrection. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I got in trouble for this once. And I had a preacher tell me, he said, you can get in trouble faster than anybody I ever seen. Book of Acts says, and while they were standing there, Jesus went up into the clouds. And they beheld him. And two angels stood by and says, this Jesus that you've seen go up shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Now, James Black theology, that's my disclaimer. Did they walk out there and watch Jesus go up? Or did they walk out there and watch Jesus go up with a great company of angels? Hang on, let's saw the limb off. All those people that come out of the graves after the day of resurrection, it did not happen when Jesus died. Read it closely. They didn't get up till after he got up. Jesus is the first fruits. When he went up, was those disciples who were cowards just days before, did they stand and they watch Jesus? And these saints that come out of the cemetery, or did God make them die again? So you got to think about this. Jesus, the saints, the angels, they went up. Wow. You know, there's one thing, it's just see Jesus go up. But remember, we are to behold him in his glory. How is he coming back? Thessalonians. He shall come with the shout of the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead he's going to bring with him. We're going to be raised to meet him. This isn't going to be just a little simple ceremony. Man, this, what happened? It says, his brethren and all the house of his father. That's uncles and aunts and cousins and second cousins and however all of that goes. And you know, and they brought him up to the house of his father. Where's Jesus today? He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. One last thing. Last part of verse 31. And he judged Israel 20 years. He judged Israel 20 years. Remember what I told you? We read Samson, four chapters, a whole life story in four chapters. We know that he grew up, the Spirit of the Lord was with him, and he was in favor. He ruled Israel for 20 years. Was this death after the time of his judging? For 20 years. It tells us in Judges 15:20 and 16:31, he judged Israel 20 years. It tells you in Luke 2:42 that Jesus was 12 years old when he went to the temple with his parents. It tells you in Luke 3:23 that being about 30 years of age, he began his ministry. You say, well, preacher, that don't work. His ministry is reasoned to consist of 2 to 3 years. If you put that 2 to 3 years from the time he was 12 years old till he was 32, 33, there's 20 years that Jesus walked and ministered on this earth to bring to light the love of God. I tell you in closing, it's typology. I jokingly say it's a scary place up here. But if you let yourself get into the Word of God and you begin to let these stories expand, you're going to find out the Old Testament is full of pictures of Jesus that's over and over and over. Why? So that we just don't see this compassionate, loving guy in the gospel is just doing good deeds. He is the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the Savior of the world. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he gave himself for us, just like Samson gave himself for the harlots. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, I praise you.